Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. It's the 4th of July, and I thought, let's celebrate the life of an American who really lived up to the concept of the American dream and who passed recently. I'm talking, of course, about Muhammad Ali, and I've asked another great American legend to come in and talk about him, a former UN ambassador, also former Atlanta mayor, Andrew Young. Today, talking about Muhammad Ali, and as I was thinking about who in Atlanta could really talk about that subject, I thought of the one and only former UN ambassador, former Atlanta mayor, Andrew Young. Sir, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Well, thank you, and thanks for talking about Muhammad Ali, because I think this is one phenomenal human being, and a lot of people know pieces of his life, but he had a very, very comprehensive approach to life, which is really the all-American way.
Well, you know, yes, I wanted to talk about your specific interactions with him, Dr. King's interactions, the civil rights era, but I also just wanted to talk about what did he mean for Black Americans?
Well, it wasn't just Black Americans. He was the beginning of the brash generation. I mean, in the 1960s, the students woke up. But before the students woke up, Muhammad Ali woke up. I mean, the sit-ins and other things, he introduced a kind of cockiness that we had not seen. Not even in the comedians very much. There was always a layer of subservience on anything Black people did.
Right.
Now, it wasn't subservience, but everybody Black, myself included, was raised not to be offensive to people in power and the majority.
It was dangerous.
it was downright dangerous. And my parents raised, and for me it was particularly dangerous because growing up in New Orleans, probably the best thing that happened to me in some ways was that I was born 50 yards from the headquarters of the Nazi Party. And so at 4 years old, my daddy had to explain to me about white supremacy, racism, Nazism, and he did a good job. He said, he was a dentist, and he said, look, he said, white supremacy is a sickness. And he said, I don't get mad with people when they come to me with a toothache. See, he said, you have to keep your cool, and you have to help sick people. You don't catch their sickness and try to be, if they're white supremacists and you become a Black supremacist, you caught the disease. All of us are God's children, and they don't know that, and there are lots of reasons why they don't know that. And we need to understand them, and we all need to kind of figure out how to grow together. Now, in the neighborhood I lived in, the Nazis were on one corner. It was an Italian bar on another corner and an Irish grocery store. So when people say, where did you train to become an ambassador? It was my neighborhood almost.
Wow.
And then I had to go to an all-Black school in another neighborhood. That was another whole set of challenges.
So everyone was taught to be careful, to be polite, to never offend. And when Muhammad Ali came along, he broke that paradigm.
He broke it to pieces. And he was, the thing is, he bragged. But then he backed it up. and that was the amazing thing. In the Olympics, when he was Cassius Clay, I was a boxing fan. and the boxing arena was not too, was walking distance from where that neighborhood. And part of my father's job was fixing the teeth of boxers that got beat up. And they couldn't ever pay, so he got them to take me and my brother to the gym. And so it was, I sort of grew up in a boxing world and sort of knew enough about it to know that guys that weighed almost 200 pounds shouldn't be able to move as fast as he did. I mean, he moved like a featherweight.
Yeah.
And yet he was a heavyweight.
Did you see him fight?
I did, yeah. In fact, I saw him on television in the Olympics, but and I did not go to any of the fights in Las Vegas and New York. I couldn't afford that. But when he came out against the war in Vietnam and lost his license, it was Atlanta that got him back into the fight. And, and Senator Leroy Johnson and Jesse Hill got together with Lester Maddox and formed a boxing commission.
Lester Maddox.
And, yeah, and Lester Maddox gets a bad rap, too. He and I got along very well.
He deserved the bad rap.
No, he didn't. Well, he really didn't.
Well, maybe he evolved,
In his early years, and this is a story that hadn't, that the student sit-in movement voted overwhelmingly not to bother with Lester Maddox or Lebs. They said, look, part of our nonviolent training is to give some, to give our opponents a face-saving way out. Now, we don't want to go promote, we know what Lester Maddox's background is. We don't want to go provoking him. And they voted almost unanimously not to go to Lester Maddox's restaurant, the Pickrick, or Lebs. And these three guys decided that they were feeling macho and they were going to go show up Lester Maddox. Well, that would have been all right if they had stayed there. If you do something in nonviolence and if you're going to confront an adversary, you have to stay there and take the whipping. And when Lester showed up with a gun and an axe handle, they ran. See, the guilty ones there were the ones who ran.
I never thought I'd be hearing, you defend Lester Maddox. This is unique. Back to Ali.
No, that was part of the way I grew up. But that people didn't really know better, and we had been legally separated and did not know each other.
Right.
But my playmates in the neighborhood were almost all white. Till we got 14, and then we separated.
Right.
Fortunately, I remember I went back to Tulane to speak about 5 years ago, and one of my buddies, the kid whose aunt ran the Irish grocery store, came out to Tulane to hear me speak.
Huh.
And it was really, I mean, this was 70 years between us. But we had developed good enough friendships and had sort of stayed in touch, you know, not particularly socially, but that's the thing about the South. The South has remained friendly and cordial even during the days of legal separation. And that isn't true in many places. But Muhammad Ali broke all of those rules. And he picked on Sonny Liston, I remember. I mean, Sonny Liston was a man that looked more like a bear than a human being. And here was this little skinny 200-pound kid who was looking him in the face and saying, you're too ugly to be the champion of the world. He said, the heavyweight champion of the world should be a pretty young boy, like young man like me. He said, I'm pretty enough to be. He said, you're too ugly. He got Sonny Liston so mad that Sonny Liston came out almost trying to kill him, but he was wide open. And Muhammad Ali knocked him out so quick, everybody wondered whether the fight was fixed. But he began to knock out everybody else.
He sure did. I actually...
And called the round. And, you know, and it was just a style that did not exist in America, black or white.
Right.
I mean, later on, you had some, I forget who they were, really roguish comics who were white.
Oh, Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce, right. and the Dangerfield.
Right.
And others that the comedy of insult.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad Ali was way out in front of that.
Yeah.
But he did it with a sense of humor.
Now, you saw him fight in Atlanta. I actually saw him fight when I was 10 years old in 1967 at Highbury Stadium in London. My dad was covering the fight for the New York Times and had the Cub reporter, take the kid up to the nosebleeds. Cub reporter later would turn into the executive editor of the New York Times, Joe Lelyveld, which I forgot. But
I know who was a very good friend of mine.
Joe?
Yeah, one of the guys that we could do a whole story on him.
He
was the one that's kept the focus clear on South Africa.
Yes, he did. Wrote a great book about it.
And he and President Carter kind of had Africa right. And most people thought that President Carter was crazy for thinking. I mean, here we'd been through Vietnam. We were on the verge of, that's the beginning of Afghanistan and the Russians coming in. Carter decides we're going to resolve Africa peacefully. Out of his experience in the South. And again, let's get back to Muhammad Ali, though, that for all of his noise and for all of his bluster, he actually was a very gentle, loving man.
Mm-hmm.
Even with his enemies. I mean, it happened that... Dr. King's lawyer, who came down to, was retired Internal Revenue Service lawyer, became Dr. King's lawyer when they filed suit against him about 1958 or 59, trying to say that he was responsible to pay taxes on all of the monies that were raised in all of the mass meetings. And he didn't even know how much it was. But Chauncey Eskridge came down as part of a defense team with Internal Revenue Service background. Well, Chauncey Eskridge was also Muhammad Ali's attorney. In Chicago. And he was advising, well, he was on the board of SCLC, and the board in SCLC in 65 voted not to oppose the war in Vietnam. And they said that SCLC should maintain its race relations position and its good relationship with the Johnson administration. But Dr. King said that he personally could not segregate his conscience.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't be for nonviolence at home and then be for violence abroad. And so he and the board separated. I think the same thing happened with Muhammad Ali and Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah.
Elijah Muhammad did not want him to come out against the war. And wanted him to go ahead and serve, do his service. which for him wouldn't have been bad. He would have
He would have been doing exhibitions or
exhibition boxing and the like. Yeah. But it was a matter of principle that I don't know where it came from.
It's extraordinary to think at 24 years old, at the height of your career, that you would make a decision that you know would, you know, potentially end your career. It's just the bravery of that action is just extraordinary.
And it was courage, because he didn't know where it would come out. And I know that Dr. King did not want him to do that. Dr. King felt that he was old enough and secure enough to handle this, but that he was a young man in the beginning of his career, and he could take a pass and nobody would feel bad about it.
Right.
But he insisted on coming out publicly.
Tomorrow, we'll continue my conversation about Muhammad Ali with former Atlanta mayor and former UN ambassador Andrew Young.